Welcome to the Money and Time Machine podcast, where you can learn how to rage against the theft of your financial future by listening to a unique perspective on what's holding you back from a life of more money and more time.
Hello and welcome to the 31st episode of the Money and Time Machine podcast. I'm your host, and today's episode is a tribute to one of personal development's unsung heroes, a pioneer in the field of personal transformation who lived and taught passionately until his recent passing. His name? Hal Stone, having partnered with his equally popular other half, Sidra Stone. Together, they shared their research and co-created the very popular Voice Dialogue. Their inspiring work also came in the form of the book Embracing Ourselves, that's S-E-L-V-E-S, amongst others, which continue still to impact the lives of people who are and have been willing to dig deep into their own personal psychology so as to bring out their best and live life in harmony with and on purpose. To help me today is the man who introduced me to the works of Hal and Sidra Stone and the impact it's had on me personally. Well, I can only express it as being a work in progress. So welcome back, business entrepreneur extraordinaire, Paul Counsell. Welcome, Paul.
It's great to be here, and thanks for the invitation.
Well, thanks, Paul. You'll be pleased to know I'm going to keep this down to three very simple questions, two of which has to do with Hal. But I think the first question, really, just to set the tone, to set the foundation so as to make sense of where Hal Stone's work could possibly help them. Now, the first question, I want you to remind the listener what personal development actually means, because personal development is an important and I dare say very integral part of the entrepreneurial journey, but it's a concept that is often misunderstood. And I love your explanation of what it means to personally develop in the moment, something that certainly changed my understanding of what personal development meant.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? It's often touted that, you know, if you read books and if you go to seminars and listen to webinars and all of that sort of, you know, process of inquiry, is that you're doing personal development. You know, we've got even in corporates, we've got personal development days and things of that nature. And it was always curious to me that in, you know, just about any bookstore you can go into, one of the biggest sections is personal development. And, you know, the curiosity came about when I saw people not necessarily progressing from where they were and who they are. And so I began to think about personal development in a slightly different way. And I'm not saying that, you know, don't read those books and attend those works. That's not what I'm saying at all. But in order to personally develop, and so you look at development and there's that some sense of progress in it, and it's like, you know, personal progress, if you could call it like that. And so I started putting things on a timeline and just looking at people's, you know, normal behavior. And what happens is that at some point everything is going okay until something happens to trigger some sort of behavior. And so we've got this trigger point. And after that trigger point happens, you know, people go into this sort of reactive process. You know, it may be to do with finances, it may be to do with relationships, it may be to do with all sorts of things, but basically they move into this reaction as a result of being triggered, and behaviors and feelings and strategies and, you know, things, you know, all sort of fire off. And that time goes, and then there's a point where, oh, okay, everything sort of settles down, we get back to normal. And so I was really interested in the amount of time from trigger or being triggered to, you know, getting back to normal, which is where you can function again. But in the space where you're triggered and you're yet to get to that normal, that's the sort of the, you know, the reactive time space. And reactive time space for me is lost opportunity, lost space. And so I thought, well, so what does personal development mean? Well, in my way of thinking, you can only personally develop in the moment that you're triggered, in that space, in that reactive space. Because if you don't do anything, then you're going to be triggered again. You're going to go into that sort of reactive time space where nothing happens. It's dead time. It's lost time. It's whatever you need to do in that time in order to survive the triggering is not productive. It's not developing anywhere. So I got the idea of, you know, that time space being the lag time. And so if somebody was triggering you about something over and over and over again, you would actually get really used to it. And then it wouldn't have such an effect on you. It would become, you would become numb to it. You'd become satisfied by it. You would become not triggered by that thing again if it was over and over again. So I started to think that you can only really develop in the time after you're triggered. And so what's one of the greatest gifts that somebody can give you is to actually trigger you, because that's the time where you can actually now start to do something about your behavior, about your strategies, about that. Otherwise, it's all done in, well, okay, that book was nice. That information was good. It's certainly usable. But unless they actually take the opportunity to develop themselves in the time that they're triggered, I don't know that much change or development actually takes place.
No, thanks for that, Paul. I remember when you explained that to me, and it was quite a few years that I gave myself permission to drop any angst I had about how I reacted. You know, the guilt. Sometimes you feel more guilty about the way you react than the lesson that you could have learned. And it's interesting. Yeah, I'm sure I still get triggered from time to time on different scenarios, but now I'm just more conscious, more aware. And as you say, the more practice you have at it, the better the reaction. And so I dare say I don't get into as much trouble as I used to. But Paul, that's an important question because, as I said, this podcast is really down to only three questions, and I really wanted to set the foundation to my next question. So I want to give a brief introduction to Hal Stone before I run into question two. Now, Dr. Hal Stone was a contemporary psychologist who was the co-creator of voice dialogue and the theory called the psychology of selves. That's SELVES. And he was a professional in the fields of psychotherapy, counseling, personal coaching, business and organizational counseling, if you will. And Hal, together with his wife Sidra, are noted for their contributions to psychology by way of the theory that an individual's personality is actually composed of several sub-selves. Everyone has a primary self that you and I share with the world, and conversely, we all have a series of disowned selves. And Hal was all about developing your personal awareness, something you just touched on very briefly there. It was all about experience of the selves, getting to know those elements or aspects of who you are. And of course, he was really big on the understanding of our aware ego. And not to mention that Hal and his wife Sidra authored any number of books on the topic, going into more comprehensive detail. So my question to you is, as an entrepreneur, what was it about Hal Stone's work that attracted you to it? And can you please explain why it has formed such an integral part of your journey and eventual attainment of personal and economic freedom?
Look, that's a really interesting question. And I think it's a certainly an important question in my transition. Just to understand that the way that we have learned to think of ourselves is generally done in the singular. You know, I, me, my, as if there is only one self, myself. And when I was introduced to the work of Hal and Sidra Stone through their good friend Michael Demiako Rowland, it really opened up such a unique part of my understanding of why I might not progress if I didn't have access to this information. To know that there are multiple selves, to know that we are not just a singular, to know that each self has a particular role to play, to know that each self has been developed in the same way that our physical bodies develop, you know, in vitro, then eyes develop at a certain time frame, and ears develop, and all of those sorts of things, and then we, you know, life is produced. In the same way that happens in psychology, in different environments and in different time frames, each self or the cells that are able to develop, you know, develop. And you know, if we think about once we're born, that we are born vulnerable, and so therefore there's a vulnerable self that must be protected. And so there goes another self that who does the protecting, obviously the parents, but then there's part of the psychology that also does that. And so to understand that each self has their own intelligence, each self has their own role, learned behaviors, each self has their own creativity, each self has their own capabilities, and just to know that was a huge breakthrough for me, because now it wasn't me that was moving along a journey. I could enlist, once I understood the cells, once I understood that some cells are primary and they have basic control over the outcomes that you have, and other cells are referred to as either secondary or disowned. And if they're disowned, then you don't have access to their creativity, where you could. You don't have access to their intelligence, where you could. You don't have access to their inventiveness and their problem-solving skills, where you might otherwise have access to. That was just a big, eye-opener. And, of course, you know, the rest of the journey was, well, how do you actually now develop some of those things to help you in the outcomes that you want to achieve?
No, thank you very much, Paul. And that was a great summary. And, we'll finish off on my third question. It took me a number of years to really appreciate the context of the work that Hal and his partner Sidra formulated, and I feel and I know for a fact that many other students of yours felt the same way. And in many ways, their work is years ahead of its time. And it's always typical, isn't it, of most pioneers who set the foundations of what their research uncovered, edging out a very comfortable living and a worldwide following as they have. And I have no doubt that their work will continue. But, you know, what's the simplest way, if you are listening to this podcast, perhaps for the first time, or perhaps you've come across or heard their names being echoed in the past, about the work of the selves as espoused by Hal Stone and his partner Sidra, that you can begin to enact and harness the benefits of this very powerful yet largely unknown work of theirs in the context of achieving your goals and dreams?
Just imagine that you're in front of an orchestra, and every person who has a position in the orchestra is really a master of the musical instrument, and they are so skilled, otherwise they wouldn't be in the orchestra. But just imagine that orchestra has not got a conductor, and then everybody in the orchestra wants their music to be heard. We wouldn't be listening to the world's greatest symphonies. We would just be listening to noise where, you know, all of these instruments are trying to compete with each other. Well, in a similar way, that's what's happening within people. You've got all of these selves wanting to be heard, and so they're all competing with each other. And, you know, Hal and Sidra described that pretty much as the operating ego, where everybody's just competing, or that, you know, the disowned cells haven't really got a voice, and they're trying to get your attention in other ways, and generally in a dysfunctional way. Now, just imagine a very skilled conductor comes and stands in front of that orchestra. And that's where music happens. That's where, you know, the best music in the world can now be heard, because there is this person in front inviting each of the instruments or each of the sections of the instruments, you know, to be heard, to be received, to start playing, to stop playing, all of those sorts of things that the conductor does is what an aware ego might do. So, you know, those two understandings of there's lots of cells and, you know, we can develop them if we choose, and that we can actually introduce a conductor so that we get the best performance out of those cells in the way of an aware ego as opposed to an operating ego. And to even understand that, you know, I had a very, very strong work ethic when I was growing up, and I still have a very strong work ethic, but the work ethic wouldn't actually, or the work itself, as I called it, wouldn't actually get me personal freedom, because it only knows how to make money through the exchange of their labor. So with the work of Helen Sidra-Stone, I learned that I could nominate, I could identify a self that I wanted to work with, and I could give that self some, you know, KPIs. I could give that self, you know, a job description. And so I developed three selves. I had the first one, which was the worker self, but I developed opportunity self. And then I developed enterprise self, and then I developed entrepreneur self. And they all had different roles to play in my development towards financial independence and freedom. And that's the greatest piece of information that I can share, is for people to understand, maybe to do some research, maybe to read Embracing Ourselves, and to understand that there is so much magic in terms of the personal development of the selves.
Thank you, Paul. I think I mentioned to you pre the interview that I was just going through a chapter of Helen Sidra's work. When it came to pass on Facebook, I was led to believe that Hal passed away in his sleep on the 23rd of May. And I think that I jumped straight up and said, well, look, I've been following this or these two people's work probably for the better part of close to 15 years now, thanks to you. And I thought straight away, look, I am going to do a very, very simple tribute. So thank you very much, Paul. I wanted to keep this podcast as simple as possible, because Hal and his wife, Sidra, were simple people also, preferring to dedicate much of their time and energy to bringing their work to as many people. Because there's any amount of research you can undertake, as Paul has noted, into the work of Hal and Sidra Stone. And as Paul has done so succinctly, I wanted to highlight the value of Hal's life's work as it pertains to business and entrepreneurial thinking. I wanted to highlight why there simply are no shortcuts in life, hence Paul's initial introduction, and that unless you are clear about what personal development means to you, then trying to raise and improve your personal psychology to match your entrepreneurial and business ambitions may be a hit and miss affair, possibly taking you much longer than you might otherwise have preferred. And as I have learned, you are going to have to do the work anyway. And if someone of the entrepreneurial caliber of my guest, Paul Counsell, can provide you with a recommendation of a body of work to consider and study, I would second that recommendation and urge you to look into it seriously. So thank you very much for your time. And till next we speak, please stay safe and take care.
Thanks for listening to the Money and Time Machine podcast. And remember, you're either someone else's version of a money and time machine, or you can learn how to become your very own effective money and time machine and to live with purpose on purpose.